I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode is brought to you by About Time We Met Skincare, and this stuff has been an absolute game changer for me, and I use it every single day. If you follow me on Instagram, you'd see that every day I have 14 daily habits that I try and tick off, and one of those daily habits is self-care, and About Time We Met has helped me so much with this over the last 6 months. So every night I use their foaming cleanser to try and wash off the day's kind of dirt and sunscreen and zinc and all that stuff that we end up on our face after a long day of just living life. So I use their foaming cleanser, and then I also use their Naturally Brilliant oil. This stuff is so nice. I put it on my skin, rub it all around, and it just soaks it all up. Smells so good, and it's also good for my mental health. So a few things that I love about Time We Met is it prides itself on its antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and antimicrobial properties, along with mental well-being benefits. It features sandalwood oil, which contains a key component called alpha-santalol that can help relax and calm your nervous system, and has been used for centuries in Ayurvedic meditation and practices. And also, studies have shown that when you apply sandalwood oil topically to your skin, this component can work in similar ways to any anxiety medication by interacting with the receptors in your brain to regulate anxiety. I absolutely love this stuff. I know you guys are going to love it too. If you head over to their website, abouttimewemet.com.au, you can use the code ACC15 for a big 15% off everything. I know you're going to love their stuff. It's a big part of my daily routine, and I know if you guys use it too, you're probably going to enjoy it. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Tag me and both About Time We Met on your social media. Would love to know what you think of it.
What's going on, you good humans? Welcome to guest episode 143 of Good Humans Podcast with a very special guest by the name of Vanessa Angera. She is my running coach and has done some incredible endurance races over the last couple of years, which you're going to love in this story. She also has a really interesting upbringing, crazy family dynamics that I loved hearing about. I'm just so fascinated by people like Vanessa, who just have a really different life to mine. She's then an accountant, and wild episode. But big thank you as well to our sponsors, Drinkarepa. I've been using this stuff so much for my running. Every morning when I wake up before I train, I have a couple of their capsules. The capsules are just incredible. And then every single day, right after I work out, I have a protein shake where I put their powder in, which is, brain function powder. Makes your brain just work better. If you want to learn more about their science, head over to drinkarepa.com. You can use code GOODHUMAN for a huge 25% off everything over there. So if you're like me and you're super conscious about your health and taking better care of yourself, go over to the website, check out the science behind the product, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it. You can also pick up some of the performance drink and the Calm and Clarity at Coles and Woolworths if you just want to try it out. They're purple glass bottles. You can see them in the cold section. Let me know what you think. I drink all the fizzy ones so much as like a replacement for fizzy drink, which I absolutely love. And then the performance one is just epic as a replacement for your coffee. So grab some in Coles or Woolies, grab some online, use that code GOODHUMAN, and let me know what you guys think. Okay, so Vanessa, this was such a fun episode. She is someone who's been helping me a lot the last couple of weeks, but I had no idea about her story, and it was really fun getting to know it. So I know you guys are going to love this episode. If you can do me a huge favor, if you enjoyed the episode, go hit like or subscribe, come back for another episode, go check out the rest of my running episodes. You've got week one and week two Monday episodes in the last couple episodes in the catalog. You can also go back and check out week one with Jaya Dean, my running coach, who is partner in the business with Vanessa, Project Personal Best Running, and also week two with Tom Greer Smith, clinical psychologist and also performance psychologist, giving me some great tips on my running. So go check out the whole catalog. There's some really interesting stuff coming up. I've got some huge guests lined up who are ultra runners, which I can't wait to get into. It's a whole new community of people, which I'm loving. Also, if you want to be a legend and support the Good Human Factory, head over to the website, thegoodhumanfactory.com. Check out my mental health workshops. I've got a really busy couple months coming up, which is going to be fun balancing the training, but I'm going to be in Melbourne and Sydney for a a few workshops. So if you're in those locations and you want me to come and chat at your business or at your high school, go to the workshops tab on thegoodhumanfactory.com, click the request form, and you can learn more about it. Also, you can grab some merch over on the website using the code podcast for 25% off. So enough of that. Let's jump into the episode. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast, Vanessa Angera.
Yes.
How you going?
Thank you for having me. I'm pretty good. I'm tired. I've had some early mornings this week, but we're feeling good.
Yeah. Tell me about your week. I know you've got some exciting stuff going on at the moment and you're running 96 kilometers this week.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Just that I wanted to do this as just a thing for me. Like my dad passed away at the end of last year, and kind of when it happened, I was thinking about all of those when you lose someone, you're like, it's the first time you don't have them for Christmas or the first time you don't have them for birthday. And I was like, all right, first time we're not having dad from his birthday. I'm going to run 96 Ks for the age he would have turned. So just doing that on my own, like obviously with run clubs and stuff, but yeah, just adding in some extra Ks, it was meant to be a deload week. And I'm like, Jai, can we do this? So, yeah.
Yeah, you're crazy. I was driving to Run Club this morning and
I saw you running
like before Run Club. And I'm like, oh my God, you're a weapon. But
early mornings.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to get to know your story because you're my running coach along with Jai. You were actually the one who said, let's get Cooper on board and help him out with this journey. So maybe we'll start with that. How'd you find me and how'd you find my story and what made you want to help me out on this 100K challenge?
First of all, like I had known about you through like you're good friends with Ricky, Dan.
Yes.
So I'm like, first of all, Ricky is just a legend.
Yeah.
So I was like, if Ricky likes this person, he must be a good guy. So like look into that a little bit further and like the fact that you have the Good Human podcast and everything you do in that space. I was like, this is the type of person like I want to help. I mean, I want to help everyone, but it's nice to be a part of a journey for someone that's like trying to set a challenge for themselves. But you're also trying to do it like in the most right way you can, like looking for the help from everyone else. And I was like, if this is something that Jai and I can play a part in giving you like the most preparation that you can get for 100 kilometers, then like what a rewarding experience that gets to be for both of us and for you. So yeah. And like I think you had followed me from a post I did on like my training kit.
Yes, I do remember that. That's right. Cause I followed you because I was like, all right, I'm doing this thing. I need to start following people who do runners. Really long runs, ultra runners. And you're one of them, which we're going to get into your story a bit later.
Yeah. But so when I saw that, I was just like, and then from that, I saw on your channel that you're like, oh, 100 days for 100 Ks. And I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Mm. Like who better to suit what we're trying to launch for ourselves than to help you out with what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it was really good timing, huh? Like literally a week before my 100 days started, you guys pretty much launched Project PB running coaching, which has been epic. The last couple of weeks we've started to build this morning. This morning actually smashed me. This morning we did kind of tempo. Deload week. And I had to stop on like when everyone started really taking off at the end. I was like, had two glasses of wine last night and I was like, ooh.
I should not feel it, hey.
I should not do that. But anyway, I'm feeling good now. We're finished. Other thing I always start this podcast with is a question, and that is, what are you grateful for right now in your life?
Right now and always, like just my support network. Literally just saying that makes me want to cry. But because all through like since I started running, but even before that, like just the circle around me has stayed consistently by my side and always. Like running is so random for me to dive so deeply into. Like for people that have known me since I was like 8, they're like, you're crazy, but I'm here for you. And we're still gonna like they're inspired or like they just think it's awesome I've done that. And they don't like say, oh, you're like lame for doing that and you're boring. It's support. So yeah, my family, my friends, my partner, all of it.
Bloody love that.
Yeah.
The other thing I always start the podcast with is a little cheers with Drink a Rapper. So you haven't tried it before. We had a protein shake when we finished the run this morning, right before we recorded this, and I put some of the powder in it. You said it was pretty tasty.
Good, it was really good. It was a nice like just like a different taste to a smoothie that like I've been having the same tinged. Damn smoothie every day. So it was nice to have something different.
Well, I'm going to give you some powder as well.
Yeah.
But the main products are these drinks. So I reckon we should do the Calm and Clarity today. So grab one of them, give it a little bit of up and down. You don't want to shake it because it's fizzy, but yeah. Just to get the stuff at the bottom. Give it a crack if it's not too slippery. Cheers.
Cheers.
Get our brain fired up. But yeah, so it's all natural. Three kind of main ingredients. So like L-theanine, which you would have heard of, green mm-hmm. tea kind of helps you calm down a bit. Their main thing is New Zealand Neuroberry, which is a New Zealand black currant that they have trademark and patent on, I think. But all scientifically done with neuroscientists and like in the lab to make sure it works. They've done all clinical studies and yeah, makes your brain work better. So
sweet. That's what we need right now. I need clarity while I talk about everything.
Exactly. But no, I'm really excited for this chat. You said you haven't done a podcast in over a year and you probably haven't done one quite like the one we're going to do today. I told you this morning when we finished our run that we're going to kind of go on a bit of a journey through your life. We could go straight into the running, but it fascinates me because I know you're an accountant a couple of years ago, so it's going to be fun to see how you went from
how did we do that?
Went from accountant to runner, but first we need to get to know the start of your journey. So as much as you're willing to share, take me back to where you were born, where you grew up, what life was like as a kid, siblings. What do I need to know about you up until high school that will set me up to understand you a bit better?
I guess like starting off, I grew up on the Gold Coast. I've lived here pretty much all my life besides a short stint in Brisbane, which I'll get to. I grew up on the north part. So I was in Benoa, went to schools there. I guess family, my dad was 70 years older than me. So, and this is my full dad. I've got one full brother and then I've got five other siblings on top of that. So in total, seven of us. And that's kind of like, we had this like hectic family dynamic. Like we all got along super, super well. Dad was always like important, like place a lot of importance on fostering, keeping the family together.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're half siblings or not, we're still family.
Yeah.
Everyone lives everywhere else except for two of my brothers. They're both in Australia. One's in Adelaide, one's in UK. One's in Germany and one unfortunately passed away a while ago. It's just like having that really interesting family dynamic of like my sister is older than my mum, like my oldest sister. There's just like so many nuances to us.
Your older sister's older than your mum.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
It's so, yeah. And just like having that growing up, it's a lot of things that hindsight has taught me, like all of it ties together and like all these little things that my family put in place to make me grow better.
Mm-hmm.
Predominantly, I have my brother, Freddie, who he's only 32. So we're like way closer. I'm only 26.
And how old's your older sister?
I think she's like 72, 73. And then my mom only just turned 69. So, yeah.
That is the most interesting thing I've ever. So, your dad had your older sister when he was like in his 20s.
Over. Yeah. Yeah.
And then had, and you've got a sister that's 50 years older than you.
Yeah.
Or 48 years older than you. Yeah. Wow. That is fascinating. Different. Fascinating. Just like, no, like, yeah, just like interesting. Mm. So interesting.
And like as a kid, you don't really conceptualize that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like, this is family because dad didn't make it awkward. It was like, these are your siblings and that's that. And I was like, cool, I got family.
Yeah, amazing.
It was always so exciting to have them visit. Like recently, one of my sisters, her birthday is the day after mine. So like we're always sending the happy birthday messages and my dad's birthday is also 3 days after mine. So she like recently was just like, happy birthday. I just want to let you know, like, despite the geography, like there's a connection. There's a special connection between us, like half sisters or not, we're still family. And
yeah, wow.
We share this like completely different bond despite only seeing each other every couple of years.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So like, I think that family relationship fostered a lot of like love for connection as I've grown up. Like it's always been so important to me that like I stay connected to the people in my life, the good people that like gave me their time, gave me their support, like want to hang out with me. Even if it like it's hard for them to organize it, I can organize it and they're more than willing to happy like hang out.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's one of the, I mean, I've had 150 guests on the podcast and that might be one of the most interesting upbringings and family dynamics I've ever heard. Let's talk about high school. What was high school like for you?
High school was like
sporty. Yeah. Super into your sport. Were you into running back then or?
No, not really. Like yes and no. My actual sports during like primary to high school were tennis and karate. So I played tennis from 10 to 21 and I did karate from 9 to also like 21. I got up to black belt third degree. So just meant
do not fight you.
That's what it means. Yeah, they were my main focuses. I played like little patches of like league and union AFL footy
because why not.
And then I did cross country a couple of times because again I was like I just want to try. I just want to give it a go. Running always felt good though. So that kind of like leads into how I love running so much now. But I guess in terms of school life itself, I had a pretty hard time because growing up with much older parents who were quite conservative, I used to go to church as well. So I actually had, I could communicate with adults better than I could communicate my own age
group. That's what I was going to say with siblings that are so much older. It's like such a different dynamic. You learn how to be a lot more mature and then hard to probably connect with people your own age at school at times.
Yeah, like I'd snap at my friends who are, everyone else is laughing at a joke and I'm just like, that's stupid. I'm like, oh, I look at it now.
And you've got
like,
the discipline of karate as well. Like, yeah, you're such like a mature
everything
young girl.
Was serious. I was so serious as a kid.
Okay.
I was also like a teacher's pet. That also led me to being bullied a fair bit.
I wouldn't bully you if you were a black belt.
Well, that's the thing, though. I would get bullied for being a girl that did karate. It's just like, it's not normal.
Yeah.
It's like a general, like the female doing a guy type of sport. Mm. And like, I look at it now thinking, oh, it's just such a dated way of thinking. And kids are ruthless.
Exactly what I mean. Like, as a kid, it's so easy to say, like, I wish I just didn't care back then, but it's very easy to say that.
Yeah, you got to train your mind. Yeah.
Oh, it's massive. So tell me about the end of high school because you ended up being an accountant for a while.
Yeah.
What was what did you think after school looked like for you? And then where'd you go? What was that next chapter?
So, yeah, I did all the pathways to go into accounting. And don't get me wrong, I loved it. I actually was really excited for it.
Accounting? Just like love numbers.
I love numbers. And I still do. I mean, like the positive with the business that I have with Jai is like I can take on the accounting side and I actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
So for some people, they'll be like, oh, you like wasted that time in uni. I'm like, no, that.
You probably set yourself up so the rest of your life now you understand how your accounting works.
So much. And my time in accounting gave me so much exposure to just like really incredible companies to work for, things to do and things not to do. Just like understanding, I guess, the admin behind a business has been so much easier because I've already got that kind of background. But yeah, accounting, it was kind of...
It's like 3 years at uni somewhere here
on
the Goldie.
Yeah, 3.5 years at uni. I did a double degree. So I also did international business, but I don't even talk about that because I haven't used that much. probably didn't need to do that degree. And that was just like, it was the very stereotypical must go to uni, must get the corporate job pathway.
Yeah.
And I thought that that's what my life was going to look like. And then after tearing my ACL and continuing to work in accounting.
Let's talk about before you did your ACL because you told me off air before when we were having a chat that you'd just done, so you'd done 5 months of
your first 5 months working in an accounting firm after uni.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I need to
go on a holiday. Yeah,
tell me that, because I think that's interesting, because I think people listening right now who might be in a corporate job or something might draw some inspiration from this part of your story.
So, yeah, like I finished uni. They actually accepted me into the job undergrad early, and then got to start early. And I'd already planned this 3 month holiday by myself because I love to travel. Like, you learn so much. It's just incredible seeing all the cultures. And I wanted to book that trip because I knew that once I step full time into this corporate job, I get like 4 weeks in a whole entire year of holiday.
48 weeks.
Like, you're just grinding away. And especially as a grad role, they don't pay that well. Yes, like anything, if you stay long enough, if you work hard enough, you do get paid better.
Mm.
It's just quite annoying to finish a uni degree that's just racked up all this debt and you can't even pay it off because you're working 4 years before you get like into the good pay.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I want to go on a holiday before I like dedicate my life to the corporate world. And then...
What's his, 21?
20. Yeah, I was 21 when I finished the degree and went full time into the job at 22.
Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to finish the degree as soon as possible. Yeah. Like, I could have finished that degree in 4.5 years. So I shaved off a year because I just wanted to get out. Yeah. I wanted to go to the next step in life because the study was not a means to an end, but like,
yeah. So you go on this trip. Austria, 3 months.
I was
2 months in.
2 months in, and I went on ski, like a completely spontaneous trip skiing, and I stacked it down a mountain. It was just like, it was not powdery at all. It was just icy. Lost control. It's my second day skiing ever. And I just fell.
So you just went on a trip without skiing the whole first 2 months. It was only your second.
Well, it wasn't winter yet. Like, it was from October to January. To Austria. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was like, I was meant to just hang out with my friend in Germany, and then she got invited to just like a cool place in Austria, and she's like, do you want to come? And I thought, why not? Let's be spontaneous.
Epic.
Spontaneity led to a torn ACL, but.
So yeah, tell me that next chapter. You come home with a torn ACL, someone who's obviously quite very athletic, black belt, into all your sports. What's that next chapter like, sitting in a cubicle with a torn ACL?
Pretty
doing accounting
shit. I just remember I came back
2020.
Yeah, 2020. It was the year of COVID as well, but we're not going to talk about COVID.
Yeah.
I got back and I got back into the office. I got crutches and everything because I had to still catch the train to work. I was living on the coast and the job was in Brisbane, which is why I lived in Brisbane for a bit. And I just remember I walked into the office of my like partner. That like was my manager partner. I'm like, hey, I know I've just been gone for 3 months, but I need to take another 4 weeks off because I tore my ACL and I need to have an operation. Thanks. They were so fine with it, which was really nice. But yeah, like,
how was that recovery?
This mental shift. When I came out of hospital, like I woke up next morning and I'm just thinking, my leg, I can't move my leg. Like, what a feeling I never thought I'd have, like, at 22. No, even I wasn't even 22 yet. Like, I'm just lying here thinking, there's so much work I have to do. Oh my, like, you start getting overwhelmed. How am I possibly going to get out of this? I think there was so many tears. I was just, like, so – it was a victim mentality. I was like, why me? Like, oh, I wish I didn't go skiing that day. All this negativity that you're like, oh, I wish I could have done this better, blah, blah, blah. Then finally, I had a really good friend tell me about, I'm going to butcher this, I always do, but I think it was Michael Jordan tore his Achilles and he was told he wouldn't be able to play basketball again. And obviously that wasn't the case. He continues to be an absolute icon. And just hearing that story, I'm like, if he can do it, a man that just works really, really hard, I'm a normal person that can come back from this. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I started saying to myself, you know what? We're not just going to come back from it. We're going to come back and be better.
Nice.
Because I set the goal that year of running a half marathon, I had to obviously push it back because of rehab, etc. And I was like, next year we be better. Next year we train properly. We focus on doing this right. And, but for now, the action I can take is go through my rehab, do everything I'm told to do. And that's what's going to help me recover and be better.
Epic.
Yeah.
So then you come back in 2021, body's starting to feel better.
Yeah.
Getting back into your running a lot more. How much longer do you stay an accountant? That was only until like last year.
I still stayed as an accountant for another, so I was 25 last year, 21. So like 4 years in total.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me about the balance of, because you would have got into your running pretty heavily while you're still accounting.
Oh, it was hard. Like when I was still working at the firm in Brisbane, you work, the thing is like that, there was 1 year where I was still working really, really well and I was still pretty happy with my job. But then as I fell more and more in love with running, the day in, day out grind of the job became so much less fulfilling.
Yeah.
And the environment wasn't conducive to me actually growing much in general.
Mm-hmm.
So in the second year, the year I had like 8 months where I was like gradually just kind of getting worse at my job because I just hated it.
Mm.
I was so unhappy. I couldn't even run because I'd mean to wake up to go for my run. But then in my head, I'm like, all right, but then when I finish my run, I have to get ready for work and I don't want to go to work. So the longer we can put that off and stay asleep and not have to think about it. Yeah, I remember there were days that I would come home from work and like sit in the corner and have a cry because I'm like, this life isn't helping me.
Yeah, I'm not living.
Yeah. So the balance completely skewed to like, I don't know, it wasn't even balanced. It didn't even skew towards work or training. I was just like mentally dead. You'd work.
Just in limbo.
Yeah, limbo. That is exactly what it was. I was always talking to my friend at work and like, I was like, I need to get out of here. I need to quit. I need to think of my exit strategy. And then he was just like, then quit, dude. Like, what are you, stop complaining to me. Do it.
I'm
like,
yeah, wow.
You were right. I really need to just pull the plug. So yeah, I planned my exit and quit in March 2 years ago. Came back to the Gold Coast. Got another accounting job, which was much more mellow because it was private accounting and my role was much more simple. And then I quit that at the end of last year because I was like, time to like take the leap.
Go all in, yeah. So let's talk about your running now because we can pivot away from that. What drew you to running? What do you love so much about running? And then let's talk about, that first half marathon that you did after the ACL recovery. And then 2 years ago you did.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot.
So let's a lot in the 4 years post ACL. So with running, the year I tore my ACL and had the operation, that was like February that I had the operation.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2020.
So
I started
COVID.
Running that year.
So you
year.
Like just got just, home from your trip and then COVID happened.
I moved to Brisbane and then shut down, lockdown. Ugh. I was like, I definitely didn't need to move. We're working from home. I could have just worked from home on the Gold Coast. Anyway, so I did all the rehab and I was just like itching to be active again. Like rehab's great and all, but I want to be like outdoors, which was with COVID, all I was allowed to do at the time was walk. So 5.5 weeks after my operation, I went on a hike. Probably shouldn't have done that either. Nothing bad happened. And then 4 months after, I finally was like, let's go on a 3K run with my housemate. She was super supportive. And even though she hated running, she was like, it's better than walking every single day. So she came on a 3K run. We were sitting on like a 6:30 to 7 minute pace. But it felt so good and it felt so right.
Mm.
So it just gradually over the weeks, I was still doing rehab and we just do like 2 runs a week for a couple of months. And then that became 3 runs. Each week we go like either the same distance or just increase by a couple hundred meters. Like we really carefully built the mileage. We didn't just go like gung-ho into it. Also bearing in mind, I was not running in proper shoes either. So my body has been putting up with some shit for a while. Yeah, so
seriously. So then tell me about that first half marathon. Did you end up doing that in 2020 at the end of the year?
No, I was going to even do GC50, the 25K of that event. And then I just decided, nah, there's no point yet. Like, I haven't really trained. Let's
get the body fully
back. Let's just actually do this right. And I was going to do that because my brother was going to do the 25. So it would have been a cool thing to do together, but he pulled out too. So I thought we'll just both pull out. And then the following year.
Yeah, let's talk about 2022.
2022.
Because you did a lot in 2022.
Fast forward 2 years then.
Well, tell me about 2020.
There's so much.
Tell me about 2021, the year before your hectic year.
2021 was the build where I was like, found running, like really found it. And thought to my, like, my mental grasp of what I could do that I thought I never would, never thought was possible. It was like so many nevers. Never going to cross that line. So initially I was going to do the Gold Coast Half Marathon. I was meant to have a good like 16 weeks to train for that. I ended up meeting this like running group that everyone was just like, oh my God, we have the Gold Coast Running, Gold Coast Running Festival Half Marathon in April. I had trained 6 weeks. And I did my first half marathon on the back of the previous year of rehab. The furthest run I ran the year 2020 was 16 Ks. So I was like, okay, that's only 55 more Ks on top. Like, I've been building for an entire year. And I did the race in under 2 hours. And I thought everyone was just like kind of feeding me this, like these compliments of like, wow, like under 2 hours, that's really good for your first half. I thought, that's like cool. What happens if I do that properly, like when I start training? And I had a coach, and I said to him, I was like, can I please do a like a marathon? And yeah, he instead trained me for the Sunshine Coast Marathon. The event got pushed back, so I didn't even do the event itself. I did it on the day of the original marathon. I just got my I rallied my friends together. They woke up with me at 5 a.m. in the morning, met me at the spit, and then followed me from the spit to Palmy and back to do my first marathon. Yeah, or like some would be like, we just meet at checkpoints. And this is mostly just like my pre-running friends.
Yeah.
All backed me. Like, it just circles so back to the fact that these friends have stayed real and true, and that's why I love them. And then a month after that, I did 50Ks. A month after that, I did 60s and 60Ks. And the month after that, I did another 60Ks for November. And I just kept thinking, like,
I like this.
I like this. And, like, my body is doing really well.
I'm pretty good at
my
this.
Mind's not fatigued. Like, everything fits. So
I just love hearing your like builds, like 16 weeks to do the half. And I'm like, all right, I've given myself 14 weeks to train for 100 on a trail with 4,500 elevation. And I kind of laughed when I was talking to Jai the other day too. I was like, did I set a pretty big goal in running without really thinking about it? And
yeah,
I'm looking at you now, nodding your head, but I'm like, I did the Goldie Marathon on
you've
a day's
done
notice.
A marathon. So I've like
done a marathon on no training. I got through it. I was definitely hurting. So I know like with training, like I did 17 on the trail last week and felt fine after it, which obviously isn't anywhere near a marathon, but
it's a start and
it's
like,
build. It's just like the building and not being silly about it makes such a difference. But let's go into now your 2022 because you did some massive races that year.
Okay. 2022. That was the year where I was like, okay, we're going to take this seriously.
Yeah.
Like I tried to coach myself that whole year. That probably wasn't the best, but it got me through it anyway.
When you say coach yourself, what were you doing? Looking at YouTube videos?
No, like
stuff
literally
online,
just tried
books.
To structure things myself. Or like I didn't have like, obviously everything that we coach you on is on Final Surge. I just would tell myself that I'm going to do a couple of runs. I'd had no written down.
Yeah.
It was very unstructured in the sense that I would plan it out.
Yeah.
I just had a number in my head
and said, do this.
And was like, yep, that's a sensible distance to be running. But yeah. March, I did Noosa 80. I had done a couple of trail runs. I joined some friends that were a bit more experienced, which actually adds to all of this. A lot of the stuff I've learned from running is by speaking to people that know more than me, which is like...
That's why I'm doing these podcast episodes.
Exactly. That was another thing. When I saw that you were like actively trying to not be naive, you're like, I'm going to talk to people about this and try to do it as right as you can in the 100 days. Yeah, maybe it's not as prepared as you could be.
Yeah, I could train for 6 months for it, but it's like, I'm going to give myself the best chance.
It's a challenge as well. Like, yeah, you're giving yourself the best chance, reaching out. And I thought, that's great. Like, I like that you're not just saying, oh, fuck it. Like, we're just going to do it. Yeah. So.
Which I normally do, but this one I was like, I won't finish if I just have that mindset for 100. So completely different beast.
Yeah. Like, just there's so many facets. I'm excited
to talk to you about your 100. So, yeah. So, 680 in Noosa.
80 in Noosa in March. And then I did a fundraiser in April. I ran the calendar month. Every date of the month was the equivalent Ks I'd run. So like 1st of April was 1K and then 10th of April, 10 Ks, et cetera, et cetera. I did that for Stay Chatty, which is a Tasmanian, charity for mental health. And then after that I did the May Great Ocean Road, 60 kilometers, phenomenal run.
Yeah, was that like, fun?
So beautiful.
I saw a friend of mine is doing like the 60 there.
It's really lovely. Like, I went too fast down. Like, these are things that you learn by experiencing it. Like, you can go fast downhill. That's all good and well until you get down to the bottom and you're back flat. And now your quads are completely fried. Yeah, I've never had my quads cramp as bad as they did at that race.
Wow.
I was crying, but I got it done. So that, and then in July, I did the GC half and full back to back.
2 days in a row.
Yep, two days in a row. And that was the first year that the event was back on. So it was massive.
That
would have
been the year that I did it.
Yeah, 22. Yeah.
That
was 21, it got postponed again.
Yeah, I did the 22 one.
Yeah, so that was like, I PB'd both of those races without properly training for the marathon, but I probably trained for the half. I signed up to the marathon a few days before.
Me too.
we love that.
Convention center and got my bib and ready to go.
At a time where races didn't sell out.
Yeah, I know. Now you can't fight your own wait list for like 2 years to get into the Gold Coast Marathon, it seems like.
It's actually crazy. Strava released a statistic the other day that people are signing up to races more than they are actually
running.
Just running. Because
it gives them motivation.
It gives them motivation. Running. But it's like the goal is like we've just skipped so many steps along the way. It's just like we're just going to go for the race instead of let's just run for fun. Yeah. Let's just go running. Exactly that, full stop.
Yeah.
When I saw that statistic, I was like, it's great that people are running and doing the races. But you can also save a lot of money by just like enjoying the run.
Yeah.
So
you did the back-to-back,
PB, and loved it. It was such an awesome event. And then the following weekend, I actually got really sick after the GC double, proceeded to do a 60-kilometer trail race the following weekend in Brisbane. It was the hardest race I'd ever done. The elevation just rocked me on top of being sick. Like I couldn't even breathe properly. My nose was so blocked. It was really cold. Not the best like race conditions for me to enter, but I was like, someone gifted me the ticket. So I was like, I'm not going to wait. That ticket was like $240. I'm like, I can't waste that. And then that's July. And then in August I did the Sunny Coast Marathon. I burnt out. I did it in 3 hours 55 when the GC marathon, I did it in 3 hours 37.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I wish I could have done like a 3:30. And then I was so disappointed. I learned that that's okay. You don't always have a good day. And then to finish off the year, I did 100 kilometers at Blackall, which was in October. And again, like I started off the year training myself and I just didn't have structure. So mentally, physically, I got to that start line knowing, oh no,
really?
I haven't done enough for this, but we're here. So let's give it a good crack.
And how'd you go? What time? How?
I ended up getting it done in, I think it was just under 19 hours.
Okay. So yeah, I reckon I'll be happy with around about that.
Yeah. I was like, I think I was just annoyed because
When you say underprepared at that start line, what was going through your head? What was...
So I haven't put the time on my legs. That's like that's a thing that I'll always say is like, there's a reason ultra isn't so known in like our age demographic, because the people that do it are usually like, they're in their like later 30s onward.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. It's more...
It's an older sport, and I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. No. It's... They've got time on their legs. They've got, if I'm 26 and there's a 36-year-old out there, they've been walking this earth for an extra 10 years or running. The chick that won the race at Cozzy Myler at the end of last year, she came from track, then into half and full marathon, and then into ultra. Mm. So she's had years of your and body years just... of her body getting used to that impact. So, like... Yeah. Doesn't surprise me that she won. Whether she's an underdog or not, she's got practice from just being on her feet. So
how'd you go in that first 100K? What was because I think this is a good thing for me to go a little bit more into with you, because that's what I'm doing, my first 100K. What was the biggest challenge? At what point in the race did you hit a wall? What was going through your head? Was there any points where you're like, I want to give up?
So many points. Probably something you'll have to combat on the 100. I don't know. You probably have a stronger mindset than I did going into that race, but.
I don't know. You'd done 60s and 80s that year already. So it's like, I'm going into it on only have ever done a marathon. Like obviously my training runs, I probably would have hopefully done maybe more than a marathon by before the.
I think our longest run that we've got planned for you is a 50K. Yeah. Yeah.
So give me some of the things to look out for. What was the challenges? Nutrition, psychology, pre-training.
Yeah, all of the above. All of the above. Nothing was going right. I had Jai there for a bit because he had a client also doing, client and friend, also doing the 100K. She finished 16 hours smack bang. Like she did so well. We like started the first couple hundred meters together and she just took off and was like, wow. That's what training does.
Are you running at like a heart rate or a pace in that?
When it comes to the race day, I'm running at like generally ultra, like my average heart rate when I finished the miler was like 150. And same with this 100, it's still sat at like 150 because you're walking up hills or you're like just slowly trotting along on the flats or the downhills. At not many points in time does your heart really like go up. Yeah. You're just probably really not prepared. That's what I'm thinking.
Trying to hit like that 145 to 50 is kind of what I think will be the sort of goal, rather than trying to be like, all right, I want to run this pace so I get this time. It's like,
and you get really caught up in that as well. Like if this is your first one, you don't want to be thinking that. You just want to be like one foot in front of the other, like to just keep going, just stay motivated to go forward rather than like stop constantly. And like as soon as you stop mentally, you're just thinking, oh, this is too hard. I want to quit. Why am I doing this? Like it's thoughts you would probably assume to have, but they are heavier than their weight is so much more powerful.
Yeah. What's it like when you hit 50Ks and you go,
I had a bad,
fuck, I got to fucking do that again.
Yeah. So the problem with the challenge of the race I did my 100 on was, from 42 kilometers to 55, there was a section of 5Ks of uphill with 900 meters of elevation. Oof. That's a lot of elevation in one go. It's not like a up and then a bit down, up and then a bit down. It was all the way up. And it's also in a very unshaded area. Oof. So you're at the middle of the day. Like that's when most people were getting to that spot. I'm like, this is taking souls.
And then you finish that
section, and then you have to run to the top, and then I had to keep going, and I was like, oh, I want to quit so badly. Some people that like I'd chat to along the way, they'd see me at the finish line, and they're like, I thought you were gonna quit, like good on you, you kept on pushing through. I was like, I thought I was gonna quit too. You start trying to make so many excuses. Again, I had
any injuries. How'd the body feel?
No injuries. Body. So I think my body was good in the sense of it could handle it. It just couldn't go very fast.
Yeah.
the joy that you'll hopefully feel when you get to cruise stations and you'll see your friends and family and anyone supporting you, just be like, oh, that's really nice. Like, really appreciate and take in those moments that these people, if without your crew, it's lonely, right? It's lonely and you're just like, fuck, these people are giving their time to support me. Like, that's so selfless.
Yeah.
So every time I'd see them, I'd be so happy until I got to like 60Ks. I was just like straight faced, couldn't really get a word out of me. Everyone's like, do you need to change your shoes, your socks? What food are you missing? I'm like, just a zombie. I was running in the dark for like the last 20Ks of it. And in my head, it was maybe like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, just pull out. Everyone's like having to hang around and wait for you. Like, you're going to do them a favor.
But how do you get back if you pull out? You're going to get done like.
You can, you just have to go whichever direction's closer to the last checkpoint. There's usually like helpers every now and then or volunteers. Yeah. So you can be like, hey, like, yeah, yeet me out of here. But yeah, I was trying to like justify, oh, I'm doing them a favor if I pull out. But like, yeah, really, sure. If you pull out, they've just followed you around for like
no reason.
Not really, but like.
How did it feel to finish that one?
Oh, this goes into a whole other thing. I felt nothing. This just is a whole other section of my like running where I didn't feel any sense of pride or gratification for completing anything I'd done. After that Noosa 80K Ultra, I didn't feel accomplished. That's just a whole other thing that happened where I didn't feel good. I was just like, okay. It wasn't even that I was rushing to do my next event. I've fixed it now through breath work. I was so determined to protect my ego from blowing up that I stopped allowing myself to feel proud of achieving good things that are worth being like felt. But I was so worried that mentally I'd get carried away and be like, yeah, like I'm really good, and like so worried that people would think I'm up myself. And I'm like,
there's really a difference between like being proud and being cocky. It's like a fine line, but it's like if you can't be proud when you finish a big achievement, what's the point of doing it?
So yeah, like you still got to appreciate your body did that, your mind did that. Yeah, so that for that race in particular, I just got to the line and I was like,
get me to bed.
Yeah, just get me to bed. Like even the next I didn't feel anything until like April last year. I had to do. Yeah, I did a breathwork session and actually went in there with a different purpose and came out solving two problems. And one of them was that I had completely entrapped my emotions.
Yeah, so let's go into last year.
Last year was a quiet year in terms of racing, but I did a 50 and I did a miler.
Yeah, tell me about the miler. That's something I wanted to chat to you about for a bit because 100-mile race, 180?
Yeah, it was 164. Four exactly. Yeah.
164 kilometers. You told me off air before we started, 31 hours awake the whole time. Fuck, tell me about that.
I don't think I've ever been awake that long, let alone exerting myself with that much like energy exiting.
How many calories is that? Like,
I think I've gone
20,000 calories off.
I'm not sure actually. I can't remember. It might have been like 12,000.
Two watches? Batteries or gun?
My watch actually died. My partner couldn't find the charger to bring it to one of the crew stations to give it a charge up. So I didn't get the. I don't care that it wasn't on Strava. I did a mile. I think it died at like 135.
And that was at Mount Kosciuszko, right?
Yeah. So that one. That race had 4,200 meters of elevation, which, like, I'm not saying this isn't hard, but compared to other milers, it's a easy miler. Yeah. And so, like, again, like I did have a bit of disappointment in myself. I was like, oh, I thought I could have done better. But upon reflection, I did a damn miler. Like that's finished. Plenty. That's plenty.
Yeah. How was it ticking over the 100K mark going? Holy shit.
Yeah. That was, yeah. Running in the dark and then like watching the sun come up. Firstly, running in the dark, you can't tell the difference with your surroundings. You just think you're running in the same spot over and over and over again. There was a section where you're going through someone's like farmland and you're just weaving in around dirt road and everything looked the same. You have paces. You can have paces. And I had my pacer with me and she's, yeah, not fresh because she was also crewing me during the day, but she's like calling out rock, puddle, rock, another rock, and just like trying to keep me. I'm just like one foot in front of the other.
Running through the night sounds hectic. I'm going to get used to running with a light on. Maybe a few of my late runs will be in the dark.
Yeah, we'll be mixing in some runs to just get you used to your surroundings like that. Yeah, and because there's also the wildlife to consider as well.
Snakes and stuff at night, Blue Mountains.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you hopefully won't be running too late into the night. I don't think.
What? It's what, 17 hours, 16 to 17. What time will I start?
5 a.m. It depends what start group you also signed up for, but they're staggered by like 15 minutes. Okay. So latest 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be running a fair bit in the dark. 12 hours is like that time of the year. It'll be dark at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So I'll be in the dark from 11 hours, and if it takes me 16, I'll have like 5-6 hours in the dark.
Yeah.
A lot of darkness.
And it's going to be cold as well. That'll be a difference. Yeah, once it like, gets contrast. Cold
at night, it'll get freezing
probably. Even just when you're in the valleys, like under the trees.
Surely once you're that exerted, you don't get that cold, or you still do.
Well.
It's probably nice.
There's so many stair sections that are single trail that you just have to, like, it's a line of people. Mm. So you basically are walking for a section of that you must walk, unless you decide to charge past them and that you'll be like, hey, can I get past? Like, there's like etiquette where you're like, yes, Raf, I get past you, and everyone lets you through. But on those like single trail where it's just back to back people, you just wait till you get to an open section and then you can go ahead again. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. So how did it feel when you finished the mile?
That felt good. I was just like, we've done it. I didn't fully feel the emotion because I was pretty exhausted.
I bet. Yeah. How was that sleep? How long did you sleep for? Like 15, 20 hours?
I had like a 2-hour nap when I got back. I think I sat in the shower for an hour. that night, I think I slept for maybe 10 or so hours. I couldn't have like the longest sleeping because we did have to like drive to the airport the next morning.
How's your body after that one? Any injuries, any niggles?
No injuries, niggles. No just niggles like normal soreness.
Tightness and
everything. Yeah.
Wow.
But I'd say 4 days after, I was pretty much like sore free.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. It took me like a week after my marathon, but I guess that's what happened without, what happens without training.
Yeah. Your body's just like got to repair.
Yeah.
I took 2 weeks off running after that race. not like I could have physically done it and probably felt okay, but there's all these inner workings in your body that although you feel like you're good to go again, there's so much on the inside still repairing, all these like micro tears that are going on, like it's something I always say when I see people do these really big challenges but then they start running again like a day after on like a bigger run or even on the weekend doing like 10Ks even, I'm just like, why is it so hard to get people to rest? We talk so much about recovery and ice baths and everything. You know, it helps a lot. Just resting and sleeping and like at a bare minimum. We're so tired all the time that we will not rest.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us up to the end of last year and you quit your job in accounting.
Mm.
How'd that feel?
Pretty liberating and scary
because
I was doing something that was so not in the life plan.
Yeah.
I kind of go back to when I first left my Brisbane job. My parents were just like so not disappointed. They just couldn't grasp why I would leave such a good job.
Mm.
But what I always say to them when mum would second guess why I did that, I'm like, Mom, have you noticed how much more present I am as a daughter to you? Yeah. Like, do you remember how I used to be so angry? Every time I go visit my parents, I was just in such a foul mood that I couldn't love like my family the way you should.
Because you didn't love yourself because you're doing something.
Yeah, I was just so unhappy. And so I just reminded, I'm like, Mom, I'm happy now. Like, I have time for you. I also live much closer to you now. I can be,
more important than having a paycheck that's a little bit more, doing something that you love and then building that to something that you can make more money, hopefully.
Down the track. Ultimately, like, my happiness is at the core. The money's just like a byproduct of it. Everything that I want to do is to actually help others.
Mm.
And money is necessary to make that happen, but it's also large amounts of it isn't going to make me happier.
Mm.
It's
to be able to
the
use it
why of everything I'm doing that's going to actually benefit.
Amazing. Well, I want to get into talking about some tips and stuff about my running, but we're getting pretty long. But the last thing I want to talk about is you've got coming up in the next couple of weeks, because this podcast is going to come out tomorrow. So I'm going to try and come down. What date are you doing this thing on?
It's on the 15th of March from 6 p.m. in Chugan Surf Club.
And you're doing 24-hour run.
24-hour run, 6 Ks and 6 miles alternating every hour on the hour.
So what's 6 miles, 10 Ks?
6 miles is, 9.6. Yeah.
Wow, so you got to do 6 Ks.
And then you'll get come a bit back, more recover of a rest, a bit.
And then you'll do like pretty much a 50-minute next one.
Yeah.
A little rest and then again every hour. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to come and do a couple. That might be a good one through the night for me.
That'll be good. It'll be flat, but it'll still put you under that fatigue state and like also just running in the dark.
Yeah. So tell me about that, why you're doing it, what it is, if anyone's around the Goldie wants to come down and support.
Again, it's just another mental health charity run that I like doing these fundraisers, because it puts me in a challenge state where, like, hopefully through it, I'm able to raise awareness for mental health, which is the cause that, like, is so close to me, because I've had my battles. I've had copious hospital trips trying to stop my friends from doing bad things. Like, mental health plays a very big part in all of our lives. And if I can put myself through this challenge through a charity, Sauna Days, that I care a lot about, I hope it can be a change and to continue the conversation. The reason that it's 24 hours and 6 Ks, or we're going around the theme of 6, is for it's a 2022 statistic of 6 males on average took their life every day that year. Wow. So it's not that I don't care about the ladies as well. It's that ladies will talk about it, men won't talk about it. And that's why more men will take their lives. And that has been a statistic, like, it's
growing.
It hasn't, it's still the men more than the women. And as much as I'd love it to just like not happen at all, this is what I can do to make a change, hopefully, anyway.
Well, good on you. I'll be down there, and hopefully anyone on the Goldie can come down too and can donate. Have you got a donate link yet?
Yeah,
I'll put it in the show notes.
Get that out. Yeah.
Well, I'll get it off you, because we'll put it in the show notes tomorrow. Yeah. So, people, if they want to get involved and support and put some money towards it, because obviously mental health with this podcast is a massive theme. It's a huge part of my life, obviously, with the Good Human Factory and mental health, and trying to just inspire people to take action and go, okay, what am I going to do for my mental health, rather than wait till you get to that point of struggle. It's like, okay, well, can I be a bit more proactive about this? Like, mental health isn't wait until you struggle then ask for help. It's okay, daily habits, being aware enough that, hey, I'm not happy in this job, I'm going to make a change.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happiest when I'm running, when I'm doing this. Okay, how do I move my life to live in that environment and be around that environment?
Yeah.
Which can be scary and hard sometimes, but that's why I think conversations like this are super inspiring for the listeners of this podcast and, the greater community to be like, you know what? My mental health is the most important thing. Like,
you can't
put a price on.
You can't put a price on it. You can't go about your life just like,
when I get there, then if everything. When I get here, then I'll be in a happy space. It's like, every day should be.
You want to aspire for that always and like take the action.
And you can have bad days, but it's about having more good ones and bad ones and working out what you need to do to have that. Let's talk about my run now.
Yes. Your 100Ks.
Like an hour. So we'll do 10 minutes on this. So
what,
I mean, obviously I've spoken to Jai about this already and on the pod, but what are you looking out for me in sort of, what do you think my biggest challenges will be? And what's my, next 10 weeks of training going to be like?
Well, I guess like the way that you've been onto it like this whole time. So like, that's been really lovely to see. I think preparing you for just that long haul, because ultimately, like you said before, 100 days isn't like enough time per se. Like ideally we'd love for it to be longer. But what we want is to prepare you as best as we possibly can in that time frame, because you're going to do it no matter what. We're just going to get you to that start line feeling ready.
Yeah. So what are we going to build to? So like the first week I did 34K, 36Ks. Second week I did 41Ks total. I think this week I'll end up doing about 40 again, just on a bit of a deload, maintain week. What do you think I'll get up to by the end?
I was talking to Jai about the other week. I was trying to think.
Because I'm going to be on the road too. The next 3 weeks I'm going to be like flying around, driving to the snow and back. And so that's going to be, I think that it looks like I'm doing really good now because I've been at home. I haven't had too much work on. I've had a bit of structure in my life.
Yeah.
Which is quite rare. So yeah, did you see the challenges sort of trying to get runs in places that I'm not used to? And
yeah, it's being versatile, like adaptive to, getting you used to making constant decisions.
Yeah.
Because when you're out on the trails, it's micro decisions constantly, like thinking, remembering to also do things like have some nutrition right now. Like don't wait to do it later. Running is one part of it. Nutrition, just equipment, mental
psychology, there's so many things.
Yeah, like how to actually use poles properly. Yeah. Like you are going to get poles, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Training you on poles as well. Like we got to get you used to that. There is a technique behind it.
Mm.
At the end of the day, having them is better than not having them.
Yeah.
So.
But do you do you use them the whole race or no, do you put them away in your like backpack until you kind of get to certain points?
Just when you're on flats, put them away. Yeah. Like don't put that shit in your hands.
Yeah.
You get this thing like a quiver, like you're an archer. You just have that in the back and you can like pull them out.
Sick.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely recommend.
Yeah. And then nutrition, like I'm going to have a few nutritionists on, so I don't want to go too deep into nutrition with you.
Yeah.
What are you looking out for like nutrition wise for me? Taking gels, taking.
There's specific gels as well. Like you're not going to have like a road runner's gels because you're burning. Non-nutritionist myself, but you're burning I can't even English right now. Road gels act differently to trail gels that you'll have.
Okay.
So we'll be essentially like guiding you more towards those ones.
Yeah.
But it's also a matter of like having solid foods too.
Yeah.
Because you have too much liquid, then you just have like all of this water, all of this gel, all of these like liquid forms in your stomach. Nothing that's stable.
Yeah.
That's like can actually like take a bit of time to break down, but it's also not too heavy. Like sweet potato was a big thing.
Okay.
Sweet potato,
baby food.
Dates, baby food. But again, that's really liquidy too.
Yeah.
I have these things, knack waffles, because they're just like these, waffles that tiny little circle, they're solid, they're sweet. They've got a heap of carbs in them. Just like little things. They're just snacks along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then again, you get people that have full on like spaghetti bolognese when they're out there, like at crew stations. At
the stations,
yeah. Because that's something solid.
Yeah.
You got carbs in there, you get a bit of protein from the meat that's in there.
Yeah.
You're constantly trying to.
You have to put calories in because you're burning so many. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And reminding yourself that you don't want to deplete. You don't want to be chasing. Want to be ahead. You never want to say that's the top bar. And that's the bottom. You never want to get down to the bottom before you fuel again. You want to just like, all right, go down a bit, catch up again, go down a bit, catch up again. Like, it's when you start chasing your energy back, it's not good because then you're mentally then become a bit weak. Everything starts sliding down. Yeah. That's even something I'm working on to get better at. Like,
I haven't really had to start fueling yet. I've only done 17s, my longest so far, so I haven't had to really fuel up, just the
water like even and stuff. On 17, it's like a gel and some electrolyte. And it's balancing your electrolyte and water consumption too, because you don't want to have too much electrolytes either, because then there's an imbalance there as well. You still want to be hydrating with like full, pure water. So
So many things.
So many things. But yeah, having the nutritionist on will definitely be like a really good point to talk about, especially with like eating the week before.
Yeah. I mean, so excited to learn more about that, like what I should eat the week leading into it.
Yeah.
What, yeah, obviously during the race. Yeah, I think hopefully I'll have two nutritionists on in the next 10 weeks.
Yeah.
11 weeks.
I mean, if not, we know enough to.
Exactly. Tell you I know there's that. Like, I can definitely like do it with you guys, but I was like, it's such a nice way to give people who are listening a bit more knowledge in sort of the why behind the nutrition, the understanding like, okay, this is what you need to get in, this is how it's going to act.
Yeah.
And at this sort of timing during your race. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a bit.
There's like a blueprint that like you can base, like on a base level follow.
Yeah. Seriously, it's going to be gnarly. I guess lastly, if anyone wants to come get into, we didn't really talk about this with Giants. So I think this is a good opportunity because I know you guys are supporting me. So I want to give you an opportunity to sort of promote Project PB. Do you want to tell a bit more about the Run Club and the running coaching that you guys do and how people who are listening can maybe get involved, let them know that you don't have to be setting out a big goal. It's just about being able to run safer, being able to go with the community and get some good tips along the way.
Well, I guess Jai talked about like the Salt Social. Again, it's just everyone's welcome to that. Like I started out going to that still struggling to like run comfortably because core tip that it's everyone's like secret to running, run slow. It's not a secret. It's just how it is. You start off slow. Over time, you continue to add on to that. It's like those 1% improvements along the way. Your slow run maybe really fast down the track, but to someone else, everything's relative. Mm.
You got to build into everything.
Got to build into it. Like, I guess we talked enough about the fact that I started off with the ACL. Yeah. I was running at 6:30 to 7 minute pace. Now we're here. I was doing 1K intervals the other day and hitting 4 minute splits. Whereas when I first started running and training for my half marathon, I was doing 400 meter intervals at 5:30 pace.
Wow.
That was my fast pace.
Wow.
But with 3 years under the belt, I can do that a lot better now. Yeah.
So yeah, and then Thursday mornings is
Thursday mornings are
run coaching where people can come down.
Yeah, what is speed it a session? Sessions. Huh?
What is it a session? I feel pretty bad that I didn't know that because you guys have. I was like, I was trying to tell my audience the other day, if you want to come down, come do it. How much is it to be involved and come
it's
join the run club?
Free for your first one. So the run club, free.
Yeah,
always.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Salt Social.
And then Thursdays, it's free for your first time. You want to check it out, give it a go.
Yeah,
more than welcome to. And then it's $10 going forward from there.
Oh, Mel, I thought it was gonna be like 20 or 25 or 10 bucks just to have the motivation.
Crew, yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like
I should be charging more.
It's just the fact that it's so much nicer to be like in that like high intensity zone with other people.
Yeah,
you're all doing maybe different paces, but you're all pushing yourself pretty much equally the same.
And it's all supportive. Yeah,
yeah,
everyone's pushing to
wants
their
you to do
relative
better.
Effort.
Yeah. Mm. It's not like Jai said, we're not trying to be ego runners and like hurt each other. It's all right, let's push each other to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it all. I've done 3 weeks and we did like hills was my first session, which was like 300 meter hill, jog down, 200 meter hill, jog down, 100 meter jog down, like five laps of that. Then the second week I did was 800 meters around the AFL Oval, two laps of the AFL Oval. That was good fun too. Yeah. We're doing that pretty fast.
It's like everyone's clapping. Like,
yes, that was sick because you can see everyone the whole time too. Yeah. That was really cool. Week three was 1K time trials that we were just talking about around a little track that we have, which is good fun. And then this morning was a deload week, which I think this morning was the hardest session of all of them. We ended up doing like a tempo run. So we did 4Ks and then the 4Ks back, we built every kilometer. I think we're doing like 420 of the boys got to like 330K at the end. I can't.
They got a bit excited.
Just like doing different versions of running, having you and Jai and the whole community looking over you to be like, oh, your technique's looking like this, maybe pull your knees a bit more, lift your leg, like just
technique.
All these different things make such a difference.
Yeah.
And, but the main thing is just having the community of people around you to push you. So I encourage anyone who's listening, if you're like, you know what, I want to get into running, doesn't matter what level you're at, you can be running super slow, but it's just about having people around you to help you improve, which is
at the core, like the main part. Like, we just want everyone to like feel comfortable to be a part of that and know that everyone's got a different starting point.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's 5:10 on a Thursday morning. So if you want to find that, I'll leave in the show notes next to Vanessa's Instagram handle herself. I'll put the Project PB Run Coaching there as well. So it's the best way just to DM you guys.
DM us.
On the website too.
They can book in a meeting on the website or they can contact us on the website. Okay, so cool. Whatever you want to do. And if you're a person that like, I think we created this free 5K training program because I guess over the years of running, the amount of people that say to me, oh, I don't really want to come to the run club yet because I can't even run 5Ks. And I'm like, look, you can still come. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're uncomfortable and don't want to push yourself to go to the run club when you just don't feel ready, that 5K program is for you.
Yeah.
So that, you know, in your own time, you can work your way comfortably up to that distance, come to the run club and not feel as like lost when you rock up and you're like, oh, I really can't keep up with anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, hopefully that can help a few people out.
And that just came out, hey?
Yeah, that just came out last week. And that's just on the website. It's a free download.
Cool. I'll put that in the show notes too. So people who are like, you know what, I want to get into running, but like you said, a lot of people do have that resistance because they feel I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I feel like an outsider. So I'll put that in the show notes too, which will be a good one for people to get involved in. I do finish all Good Humans podcasts with the same question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to hear your answer. So what does being a good human mean to Vanessa Andrea?
I think it's being as kind as you are able to be to anyone in your life. And that also applies to like thoughts that you have. Because, you know, you can have like intrusive thoughts that like you make a comment about another person. It's like learning to not have those as well.
Like dropping of judgment.
Yeah, because time and time again, you like it's said so much that you don't know what's going on in someone else's life, especially if it's like especially in any case. Some people's lives can look really good on the outside, but you have no idea what's going on in their life.
So be kind to
everyone. Yeah. I don't even care how cliche that is. It's just
no cliche at all. I think it's an important reminder that we all need all the time.
Like, it's taken a lot of work. Even for, like, I'm not perfect. Not many of us are. But I remember times where I'd, drop that judgment. And now I can actually call myself out on that and be like, that was not necessary.
Yeah. It's
just a waste. It's negative energy being put out into the world. Like, take it back.
Yeah, I literally had this conversation with Carol, my partner, last night lying in bed. I was just like, and it's something that I've been super conscious of in the last 6 or 12 months, just like having like zero judgment of someone in the fact that, because I just see so many people, like someone will do something and someone will react and get angry at them. And it's like, they didn't do it to in like spite of you or to bring you down. They did it because it was a mistake or something. So like, why are you gonna get angry at someone for accidentally doing something that annoyed you? Like, watching
the intent behind it.
Yeah, if the intent is to do something to you, but then you think again, if the intent was to do something cruel to you, then it's probably because they're in a really bad spot anyway, so you gotta try and have empathy anyway. But if they're doing something unintentional, then it's like, am I really gonna get upset at someone because they unintentionally made a mistake? Like, what a waste of energy.
A few weeks back, like, did something that the intent behind it was more to be, like, kind of help people make a better decision in purchasing this certain thing. But some people can see that as it was a malicious thing.
Yeah.
But I genuinely just wanted to say, look, from the perspective of a running coach, I don't recommend that. It's just, I can't sit idly by and do that.
That's what a real friend is. A real friend and a good person is someone who is willing to call people out on things that they're unaware of sometimes, because we're so deep in a thing usually that we can't see. You completely step miss outside. Like,
So.
Yeah, your peripheral can only see so far, but. Anyway, this has been an amazing chat. I've loved every minute of it, and I'm looking forward to the next 12 weeks of hanging out and hopefully continue on my running after that.
Hopefully you feel good. Like, and there's no burnout, because that's like a scary thing that happens. Like, even people who absolutely love running can burn out.
Yeah. Jai's story exactly like that.
Yeah. So like I was pretty happy when I finished the miler to be like, cool, I still love running.
Yeah,
to be fair, in the middle of the miler, I said I hate running, but
I bet.
We came out of that one pretty good.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for jumping on. I'll leave all your stuff in the show notes. Make sure if you enjoyed this episode, tag myself and Vanessa on your Instagram, share it around because I love this episode and I'm sure a lot of you guys did too. So thanks for sharing all your story. It's been interesting getting to hear about your wild family dynamic. It is incredible. And then your school life, your accounting life, and then your transition into what looks like probably the happiest part of your life right now. So yeah. Thank you so much for sharing and coming on Good Humans Podcast.
Thank you so much for giving me this space.
Yoo-hoo.
Cheers.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.